This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Now, here's the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, food psychology coach and best-selling author, Janelle McCauley.
Hi, and welcome to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm Janelle McCauley, and I want to thank you for joining me today. My promise to you is that if you take action on the information we provide each week, you will transform your health and your life. Before I introduce my guest for today's show, I want to invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and download our free ebook, Overcoming Portion Distortion. It's packed with quick and easy ideas for making mealtime family-friendly, fun, and healthy. So get your free copy today at eatgreatlivewellradio.com. We've got another great show planned for you today, and I'm really excited about our guest. So grab a pen and paper and your favorite beverage, and let's get started. My guest for today's show is Jennifer Johnson. Jennifer has been a chef for almost 21 years and now focuses on educating people on how to use whole organic food in cooking. Jennifer started out in corporate America managing a global manufacturing facilities, traveling the world. She took advantage of these travels, always looking for local cuisine and cooking classes that she could take to learn the style of whatever region she was in. Wanting to apply what she had learned, Jennifer began catering weddings and private parties. About a year ago, she decided to make some life changes and really follow her true passion for food, travel, and education, sharing that passion through her website, witnessingnature.com. I know you're going to find her information, what she has to share, both informative and inspiring. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks, Janelle. It's really great to be here. I'm very excited for today.
I am, and I'm really excited for our conversation. I know you and I have had numerous conversations just offline talking, and I love what you're doing, and I love your story, too. I'd like to start our conversation by just asking you to share a little bit more about your background and what it means to you to be a personal chef.
So for me, I mean, I started off, I'm an engineer by training, by education, and I really started cooking because when I finished engineering school, my kids told me that I didn't cook very well. And I went back and thought about the fact that, my mom didn't cook very well. She has a billion wonderful traits, but she didn't cook very well, and I started cooking really early on. And so my excitement with my engineering and science background and my going back to school and becoming a chef was I get to mix kind of the science and the food together so that I work on, you know, kind of what kind of foods will go together, what kind of taste would I like, so I can experiment with the different combinations. And I really, really love teaching other people that they can make beautiful, healthy, fantastic meals with organic whole foods. It doesn't have to taste bad. It doesn't have to look bad like the old perceptions are. That really, honestly, you can really incorporate organic whole foods into your diet every day and not lose any flavor, any beauty in what you're eating.
That's really interesting that you say your kids said you weren't a very good cook, and I love the fact that you really learned more about it. And I know I've tasted some of the things that you've made, and one of the things I really love is you have a real gift, a real way of bringing together unique flavors and combinations that people wouldn't normally put together, but that create really just tastes that just really pop in your mouth and make food so enjoyable.
Well, thank you so much. That's what we spent my time doing with my kids when they were younger, before I started traveling a lot, is we spent the weekends putting together food so that I could practice for culinary school and even have so much fun doing it. My youngest son is also an amazing chef.
Hmm. So how do you find some of those combinations that you put together? Where do you get so much of that inspiration from?
So a lot of it is from the travels and then trying different things together that you wouldn't expect that would taste good. Like we were putting salt and caramel together long before it became popular in the stores. Mm-hmm. Or goat cheese and fig. I mean, who would have ever thought to grill a goat cheese and fig sandwich? And it's just absolutely amazing taste. But and then, you know, you can use it for a tomato soup dip or a red pepper soup dip, and it doesn't sound like it would taste very good, but everybody that tries it thinks it's absolutely awesome.
You know, so that makes me wonder, though, do you, because people have preconceived notions about different types of combinations of food, so do you find that people are more likely to enjoy it if they just taste it first? And do you get any pushback from people once they know what it is, where they're leery of tasting it?
You know, everybody's like little kids, right? If you tell them that they're going to eat tuna, they're going to not want to eat tuna. So they want to have a chicken tender instead. But honestly, I do find that a lot of people, once they go ahead and taste it, they absolutely love it. And some, I get a very minimal amount of people that go, oh my God, I would never eat that again. Because they know what it is. I mean, forever mm-hmm. we made a tuna noodle casserole for my kids, and for years they thought it was chicken. And they ate it, and they loved it, and they asked for it. And I find that with adults, they're the same way. I mean, mm-hmm. once they try something and they go to a restaurant, and if it's listed as a premier dinner or what the prefix piece is, then they'll go ahead and give it a shot versus having to select from menus and the things that they may not like.
Interesting. And I know one of the dishes you made at one point, I think it was, if I remember correctly, some sort of a shrimp, and I know someone said, I don't eat fish, but they tasted it, and they actually went back for multiple helpings because it wasn't fishy. You had a way of just putting combinations together that just made it so appealing.
Oh, yeah, they're right. That was the avocado chipotle shrimp with a little bit of cilantro. Yeah, so I saute almost all of my shrimp with a little bit of white wine, mm-hmm. and that helps take some of the, it helps prevent it from getting chewy. You know, sometimes you get shrimp that can be kind of chewy. Mm-hmm. It prevents it from getting chewy, I think, as well as it adds a little different dynamic to the flavor. It takes some of the fishiest piece out, and mm-hmm. then the avocado is just such a soothing factor. And then putting a little bit of spice in there with the chipotle and then just garnishing it up with a fresh piece of cilantro just makes it taste fantastic.
So most of those things with putting those combinations together, is that something you learned through training, or is it really from just traveling and trying different things, and just maybe it's the science background too, just having kind of a mind of saying, what would this be like?
I'd say probably option C, all of the above. I mean, I really think that, you know, you learn so many things in culinary school, but then, you know, as you walk away from each one of the classes, it's not different than taking math or science in school. You kind of walk away from those things and you forget some of the things you did. But also, I'm a very open person, so I'm free to try different combinations. And I actually, when I go out and I'm traveling, I really like to eat little tapas so that I can try things together to see how different flavor combinations off of different dishes might taste. And then when I'm in the kitchen, there's many things that I just throw together, and people have looked at me and go, I would have never thought to put that together.
Mm-hmm.
So I know sometimes those are everything.
Sometimes those are the best combinations when you're putting those unique flavors together.
Yeah, absolutely. So one, you know, being a chef, one thing I don't like to do a whole lot is go shopping for myself. And one day I was in the kitchen, and I had like corn tortilla, some plain yogurt, some cilantro, some shrimp, and I think something else, a couple other things. And I just threw together a dish, and it was just an absolutely fantastic shrimp taco. It was just fantastic. Mm. I had a little bit of Mexican cheese, too. It was just really great.
Mm. And, you know, I think that's something that a lot of our listeners can really benefit from, because I know some people were raised that you have to follow a recipe, but a lot of times it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Try some new things, and I love getting the kids involved, and I love that you did that with your kids. Get the kids involved and ask them what they'd like to put in, and have people try a different flavor. Now, one of the things we do and have done, my daughter-in-law does with the grandkids, is they do a taco bar, and another night they did an omelet bar, and just putting everything out and letting people create their own. And it was a great conversation because the grandkids were asking us, well, why do you put this in? You know, how do you know what that tastes like? So we had some great conversations.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of fun. And honestly, I really think that, you know, through, you know, even the time that I was raising my kids, you know, you have so many activities that the kids do at night that we've kind of gone to the drive-through mentality, and it's time for us to bring the food back into the home, right? Teach the kids that they can to taste different things and that they can help cook the meal and make it a fun family, a family building, you know, family time building event. That makes them stronger together and makes them have more fun together versus going through the drive-through.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I always tell parents, too, it's a great opportunity to get kids learning how to research new recipes. So use the internet for something that's educational. It teaches them how to read recipes. It teaches them how to measure ingredients. It teaches them portion. It teaches them chemistry because they're learning how foods interact. So there's a great opportunity to reinforce what they're learning in school, too, in a fun, educational way where you're really getting quality time together.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So how do you get people to try new foods? I know a lot of people are really meat and potato eaters. So how do you get people to really open up, or any tricks for getting people to try new foods?
So I find that in my cooking classes, I've done a lot of private events, and I have a lot of young students as well. But when it gets to adults, when we do private cooking events or even in my regular cooking classes, I'll set maybe what the meat is going to be and maybe a vegetable, but we will go through, instead of doing a recipe, we'll talk to the people that are attending and ask the different things that they like and then give them some options so they can write down different recipes, and maybe we'll make vegetables a couple of different ways. One private event that I did at the beginning of the year was a group of ladies that some of them liked fish and some of them liked chicken, and one lady was absolutely, I do not like fish at all. So we incorporated chicken and fish into the meal, and we taught her how to make a fish, and she's made that fish almost every other week for her husband since she took that class at the beginning of the year. And she, before walking into it, she never really liked fish. She didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so, honestly, I think that when you mix things that people like and then give them an opportunity to try something, so knowing that they don't have to be committed to eat it, that makes them a little bit more open to trying and seeing some different ways of doing things than the standard traditional, this is how you do mashed potatoes and this is how you do chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that. And I think it is really all about trying it. And even with kids, it can take them 10 or 12 times of seeing something, smelling it, trying it, to really determine if they like it. And it could be that they like it hot, not cold, or, you know, just blanched versus cooked too much, or blended with certain foods, or not blended with certain foods. So just because someone says they don't like it, and I see that even in adults, I don't like it. Well, you know, how have you tried it? And they tried it one way, and there's 15 ways you could try it. So I think we sometimes are quick to judge without really knowing what the possibility and potential is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely agree. Even the guy I've been dating for quite a while, I mean, he doesn't eat green things, and he doesn't eat soup. And when we're together, all he can ask me to do is make him vegetables and soup.
How funny.
So it's absolutely a blast. We have fun cooking together. He's a great cook, too.
Well, that's neat that you can do that together. And I really think that's so true. People just, they get these preconceived ideas and notions in their head, and they just don't realize how much potential there absolutely is.
No, absolutely. Now, I will tell you, my son Tim, my middle son Tim, he honestly still won't let his food touch, and he doesn't eat green things. So he does like everything else, but he still doesn't let his food touch and doesn't eat green things.
That's funny. Well, and I think it's important to understand that there are some preconceived ways of eating or styles of eating, and that's okay not to judge or not to do that, but just understand that it's okay It doesn't have to be the same way. Everybody's got a unique palate. Everybody's got unique things that they like. And it's finding that blend and finding that thing that works.
No, absolutely, absolutely, because it's different than from when we grew up, right? I mean, I don't know about your family. I know you come from a large family like I do, but when we were kids, we grew up on the farm, and my mom served us. She gave us what we were going to eat, and if we didn't eat it, we sat there and stared at it for hours, and they may eat it for breakfast. And I'm positive that she knew, because she had pictures of the Chinese and Ethiopian children on the wall, and she was like, those people are hungry. You guys are going to eat.
Yeah, so. we grew up with very much similar stories, although ours we got to serve ourselves, but if you took it, you ate it, because if not, someone else was going to starve. We need to take a real quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about your big why for what you do and for your focus on eating healthy, and then just learn a little bit more about how you've put everything together with your cooking, your photography, the environment, because I know you've got a really unique outlook on that. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Never has there been a better time for women to hack success. The shift is on and the breakthroughs are real. We're taking success to a whole nother level. Join us at the Women's Success Summit, a gathering of dynamic, smart women helping women. We want to learn about you and what you have to offer. Bring your A game and be prepared to transact some business. Oh, and by all means, dress to impress.
Register at eWomenNetwork.com.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jennifer Johnson with witnessingnature.net, and I love your outlook on healthy cooking, Jennifer, and all the things you're doing. Before we get into talking a little bit more about how you approach it, I'd love to ask you about your big why. I love knowing that about each of my guests. What leads you to want to live healthier and share your message about healthy living with others? And how has it motivated you to do what you're doing?
Wow, that is that's probably a really long story, but I'll try to boil it down a bit. So when I was young, and even though my kids told me I didn't cook very well, my mother also, she died of lung cancer when I was 25, and my kids were 3 and 4 at the time. And so she smoked a lot, and that was just kind of the culture of what they did at that time. And, you know, I was a smoker at the time, too, and my kids begged me to quit smoking, so I did. And then along with learning how to cook and learning what really is in our food, I spent a lot of time realizing that I grew up on a dairy farm, but when we moved to the city, all of a sudden I couldn't drink milk anymore, and really kind of tied it back to the pasteurization process. They boil all of our vitamins and the bacteria out of it, which the bacteria being out of it could be kind of good. Mm-hmm. But when they boil the vitamins out, and then they, in order to make it taste good so people want to drink it, they add sugar back in and they add vitamins back in. And it really affected me, and I'm a huge cheese lover, and I can't eat most cheeses or drink milk at all because it really upsets my stomach. So trying to figure out what's in my food so that I can make sure that, number one, I'm not adding any undue chemicals or things into my body. You know, and then also too, making sure that we really just try to make a better life for ourselves, because I think that what we eat and what we put on our skin really is very important to how our health is going to be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I even tried to get my kids to eat vegan hot dogs back in the day, and I think that they wanted to kick me out of the house at one point because they were kind of nasty. But honestly, I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out, you know, other countries may have not as good access to food, but they may have better quality food. I know that in Europe and many places in Asia, they don't put the pesticides and stuff on their food that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And they live longer, and they have a better life. I mean, one thing I love about my travels in France is that I feel much more satiated when I eat a meal that comes from whole foods and maybe a little bit of rich sauce, but it comes with whole foods in it, and I don't feel like I overeat like I do in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that that really helps me realize that there is something to this eating whole organic food and being able to make sure that we understand what we're doing or not doing to ourselves as we're consuming it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, I mean, eating should absolutely be fun, and I think that's part of what people are missing. And it's really interesting that you're talking about the being on the farm and being able to have milk and do those things, and then the processing that goes into it. Because I think what's one of the things that's really happened is we process and eat so many processed foods that a lot of the natural flavors taken out, and we put in all these extra additives and all these different things that are in our food that really aren't good for the body, and we forget what food really tastes like. We use a lot of fresh herbs and in our garden, and when you eat those, the smell, the flavor, they're just so rich and so potent, and it really does a lot to the food, and I think we've gotten away from that. So we keep eating more and more, trying to be satisfied with flavor, and they're just, it's missing.
I agree. And I think people also forget how tied in their nose is to their tongue and their mouth, that how you can accentuate what you taste by what you smell. And
mm-hmm.
by taking all of that out, as you described, it really doesn't allow the palate the full ability to be able to completely taste and enjoy what it is you're eating. Plus, we've gotten to the point where instead of being present in eating a meal, we are doing it while watching TV or cooking or driving the car or whatever. So that kind of takes away from the enjoyment factor of being able to sit down and be present in the meal you're eating.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you say that because when I was doing private coaching, which I don't do anymore, but when I was doing private coaching and I would ask people, describe where you're eating, because it's really important to eat a healthy breakfast to start your day, and you want to do it, your body absorbs the food so much better when you're in a quiet environment and you're really just paying attention to what you're doing. So this one mom was saying, well, I eat my food in a very quiet environment. And I said, okay, describe it to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm in the car on my way to work and I have 6 minutes to eat my breakfast. Well, first of all, she's navigating through traffic and 6 minutes is not that much time. So what she realized is what she thought she was doing that was healthy really wasn't. Another woman that I was coaching was talking about, you know, dinner. And I said, so describe it to me. And she said, well, I fill my plate, I go over, I sit on the couch, and I turn on the TV, and I watch TV. And I said, well, tell me how you know, how does your body feel when you're full? And she said, I don't know, when my plate's empty. So when we're doing other things and we're not paying attention, we really get, you know, we lose touch with our body and what it means to really pay attention and be mindful.
Agree.
So how do you get people to get back to doing that when you're cooking for them? I know you do date night. You do a number of different events. So how do you get people to come back in and really pay attention and really understand how their palate affects the experience?
Well, that's a very good question, because I do a lot of cooking classes, and I have a couple of groups of families that come in to do cooking classes together, which I think is really, really fun, because that means the whole family is getting together to do it. And I see the new trend coming, especially in date night classes, where boyfriends, girlfriends, partners, husbands and wives, whatever, are coming over, and they really want to enjoy cooking together. They really mm-hmm. want to spend that time making the meal together so they can really stay in touch with each other mm-hmm. and then spend time eating together. I've seen that in a couple of my students that are, you know, they're stay-at-home moms, and their husbands are now retiring, and the husband, they've always done all the cooking, and the husband's like, well, I want to help you now. And you know how we treat our own families, right? So we don't necessarily listen to our partners or take criticism from our partners as well as we would from anyone else. So they've mm-hmm. hired me to come in and help them with that. And they're send me pictures of what the dishes that they're making together. And that's just so exciting for me to see people really bond over food and really enjoy doing something that can be productive and fun and kind of keep each other together.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think it is oftentimes really valuable to bring in a third party to really pull everyone together. Because I think it isn't, you know, oftentimes you're right. We don't listen to those that are really close to us because we think they've got an agenda. Even though they don't, we get those preconceived notions in our head.
Right. And it doesn't mean that we mean bad. It's just that, you mm-hmm. know, sometimes we're just too close to the situation. I think that you've told me once that we're so far outside of the picture that we can't see the frame.
Absolutely. No, I love that. Absolutely. You know, I'd love to ask you, on your website, witnessingnature.net, you focus on cooking, photography, and the environment. So what do each of those mean to you? And I'd love to know just more about that.
Well, yeah, so So the environment for me has always been a huge thing. I mean, when the kids were young, we would go hiking and stuff, and we always took extra garbage bags with us because people leave trash all over the place. And on our hike out, we would take the garbage and throw it in the actual garbage where it belongs. Because I really think that it's important that we protect our environment that's around us mm-hmm. In order to be able to protect, to have it for our grandkids, great-grandkids, and so on and so forth. And then I also think that cooking is a huge piece of that. So, you know, I have my cooking classes where I can teach and educate how to do different things with whole organic foods, as well as I do catering services or professional chef private party kind of services where I cook whole organic foods for other people. Because I think it's really important that of what we put in our bodies and on our bodies is, you know, good to us being able to live a long, sustainable lifestyle that will keep us happy into our hundreds if we, you know, are so mm-hmm. inclined to be able to do that. And then my photography piece, I mean, honestly, I've traveled all over the world and I really love the environment. I love the landscapes. I love different places and different things. So most of my photography stuff doesn't have anything to do with people, although I do have a little bit of a people section, just kind of like the local faces, not the tourist piece. But mm-hmm. the local faces in each area. But I really love bringing, you know, home pictures of what I've seen and sharing them with other people, because not everybody is as lucky as I've been to be able to travel all over the world and mm-hmm. see different things. And I want to be able to share those kinds of things with people.
I love that. And there's always so many stories, and there's so much more that goes into it. And I think sometimes we get so busy that it's you know, really nice to step back and look at what's going on around us and realize that there's so much more than what's going on just in our little circle.
No, absolutely. I think that, honestly, I think that Tracy from one of our groups said that, you know, travel is the best education, and I so agree with that. I mean, learning how other people do things, how they live. I mean, a lot of places I go to, they may have the same you know, different governments or do this or that, but it's really language and geography, which is really what is the divider between all of us. And they have some of the same family issues than that we have, and so on and so forth. But, I mean, honestly, I really enjoy learning about how they plant, or they, you know, make wine, or they, how they live,
mm-hmm.
and to compare it to how we live to see, you know, how much the same we actually really are when it mm-hmm. comes down to it.
I really do think there's so much that's the same versus different, yet what we tend to draw on are what the differences are, but there really are a lot of similarities. We need to take another really quick break, and when we come back, I want to learn who your mentor is, because I think it's really important, and who kind of inspired you to do what you're doing. And then let's spend a little bit of time just talking about whole organic food, because I think there's a lot of opportunity to educate people on what that means and why it's important. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com and become a partner in your healthcare.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of, or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jennifer Johnson of WitnessingNature.net. And before the break, we were talking about her passion and her love for cooking, photography, and the environment, and how she brings all that together, which I love, because I think it's important to find something that you really enjoy. And I think there's a lot of ways we can put all of those together and really bring them into our life. And I'd love to ask you, Jennifer, I know we've talked a lot about it, and I think everyone needs a mentor or someone to inspire them. When it comes to cooking, who has been your mentor or inspiration?
Oh, well, I've had a variety of chefs throughout the years that I worked with. And then, honestly, my inspiration has been throughout most of my career was my kids, because the more they enjoyed food, the more that we had time to spend together, and, you know, that they grow up too fast and they move away. And then I really have become a huge fan and lover of Jamie Oliver out of the UK. He's a huge advocate for the environment. Mm-hmm. He shares a lot of the same theology, and he's an amazing chef. I don't know if you've ever seen him on any of the mm-hmm. shows or watched any of his TED Talks.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just, if I could give 10% of my passion, the 10% of the passion that he has for food into what I do, mm-hmm. I would just absolutely love that. I'm a huge fan.
I love that. And I think it's important.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's important for all of us to really look at the people around us and look at what we love that they're doing, and then find a way to really make it our own.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I, you know, take some of his inspiration. And then I don't know if you've ever seen the movie A Hungry for a Change, but I watched it when I was on a flight to China, I think. And it was just a huge aha moment about, you know, no wonder that we all feel like we are overfed and undernourished. I mean, really, we've moved away from so many whole organic foods that, like we talked a little bit earlier, we tend to eat to excess or not know how much exactly we're eating or that we're full, because it's just a process that we sit down and we do. Mm-hmm. And I just really want to take the things that I've learned from these different people and the people that I have surrounding me and to really try to figure out how to help other people be more aware and understand mm-hmm. what's going on.
I love that. And one of the things that I really am passionate about and talking to people about when it comes down to eating healthy and really kind of the whole philosophy behind Eat Great, Live Well is really the mindfulness. It's really about intentional eating. We take care of our cars and put the best gas and we clean them and we, you know, do all these things, yet we don't give that same attention to our bodies. We tend to do things fast. We tend to do things not as thoughtful. We don't take time. They're not intentional. And one of the things I always, you know, really talk to people when I am talking about healthy eating is really learning to savor the flavor. Really pay attention to how food tastes in your mouth. Because if people close their eyes and they take a small bite and just really pay attention to it, it feeds your body very differently than just eating a plate full of food when you're not really paying attention.
Absolutely. And you know, it's really funny you mention that, because you'll see people go to the wine bar or whatever and they sip and they smell and they savor their glass of wine, but they won't do the same thing for their food.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's such a powerful combination, wine with food, or, you know, just the different foods that you are eating, and you'd have even having tea with it. Tea is just as complex. The different teas are just as complex as the different wines. And so it's just so exciting, at least for me, it's so exciting every time I eat something.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something that I put in my mouth. And I, let me tell you, I don't use margarine or anything. I use whole butter. I use real sugar. I use, when I cook, I use real ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it just tastes so much more flavorful and powerful and satisfying than running through and grabbing a sandwich somewhere.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think using those real ingredients, they really have they work well with foods together, and they really do impact the flavor, the texture, the consistency. So I think that can really make a big difference in everything you're doing.
Absolutely. You know, and still in France, they still have their specialties, right? So they have their boucherie, and they have their pâtisserie, and they have the boulangerie. They have the different specialties. And it's important, once you receive that grade A specialty or rating from the government, then you have that. That is like your honor. And I really love the passion that they put into their food. And so mm-hmm. I tried to incorporate that. I tried to incorporate a lot of that into what I do.
Mm-hmm. And food also in Europe is very much a social experience. And I think we've gotten, in a lot of cases, we've gotten away from that. It really should be family time, friend time. It's really more about the people at the table and, you know, enjoying the flavors, but not just eating as much or as fast as we can.
Oh, you know, you're absolutely right. And when I go and visit my friends in Europe, I find a lot of American tourists or places that you go to in a restaurant, and they want to know why the menu wasn't put down in front of them right away. They want to know why they don't have to check the minute dinner is served. And in Europe, you're right. It is, and even in Asia too, but in Europe, it's definitely a social experience. They have small condos, right? They have small apartments. They get together with their friends to get to a meal. And if you can get into a restaurant, then that restaurant, that table is yours all night until they close. And sometimes they don't even close until you're ready to go home. So you can sit down and have that experience with your friends and joke and laugh and really just sit and enjoy each other, the food, the environment, and before you go back to your house. Here, we have really big houses, and so if we're going to do that, we do that at our house, right? We bring our friends over to our house, and we cook, or we have it catered. Mm-hmm. Or you go out to a restaurant, the menu's there immediately, they're coming over and asking you how everything is all the time, and I think that's just kind of you're right, it's definitely a difference in culture of how we perceive going out and enjoying food versus other cultures doing it, and I see the same things in Asia as I do in Europe.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I absolutely agree. You know, I want to switch just a little bit because I think there's a lot of confusion about whole organic food, and I know that's talked about a lot today, but I don't think a lot of people really understand what it means. So if you could just talk a little bit from your experience, what does whole organic food mean to you, and why is it so important in your cooking?
Yeah, so I think that people have a lot of perception that the FDA and the USDA are out monitoring all the food that is made for us, and they don't really realize that a lot of food has become big business, right? So, for example, if you feed a cow and let it graze and eat grass for its food versus feeding it corn, then the grass automatically rid the E. coli from their bodies. And that's why they have to, when they process beef that's off of a business-based farm, they really have to bleach the meat to make sure that all the E. coli is gone in order to make sure that that's not passed on into all of us consumers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that also the perception is that the term organic is monitored by somebody. It's really a self-certification for a lot of farms and a lot of growers. Hence the reason why I want to go out and meet the farmers, that I go out and meet the farmers markets and see how they're making the food. Or I go to a store like Whole Foods knowing that they've already done that research for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the food, I want to know where it came from. I want it to come from the farm right to my table and onto my fork. I really want to make sure that was not any of my produce was not grown with chemical pesticides, that my meats are sustainable, free range, and all the same for my fishes and my seafood. I check for things like no hormones, no GMOs, no antibiotics, no radiation in all of the labels. So I just don't go into the store and buy things. I automatically look for those things and to make sure that it's not into the food that I'm going to be ingesting or that I'm going to be cooking for somebody else or teaching somebody else how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So for whole organic foods, that's really what it means to me, is to do the research and make sure, and not just trust some government agency to take care of it, because I think that that's kind of where we've gone wrong, is we just trust that somebody else is doing that for us, and I think it's our responsibility to take care of it for ourselves.
No, I think that's absolutely true. We need to take our final break, so I want to put a little pause on this and come back and talk about it, because I know one of the things people say is it's too expensive or I don't have time to do it, and I really want to address that because I think those are very valuable things for people to understand how it impacts the choices they make, but I think they're also things people say, and there's ways that you can, I want to get around, but ways that it's not really what they think it is. So I want to have a conversation on that when we come back from our break. This is Janelle McCauley, and you're listening to Eat Great, Live Well Radio.
Do you struggle with your weight or your health? Do you wish you had more energy to do the things you really want to do? Are you tired of counting calories and fad dieting? Do you want to eat your favorite foods and not feel guilty? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then the Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program is the answer for you. Being healthy isn't about fad dieting, feeling guilty, or eating nothing but tofu and wheatgrass. It's about making small, healthy choices that add up over time to create life-changing transformation for you and your family. The Eat Great, Live Well personalized wellness program will show you how easy it is to be healthy, happy, and well-fed all at the same time. Visit eatgreatlivewell.com for more information or to enroll in this life-changing program. You deserve to both eat great and live well. Check it out today at eatgreatlivewell.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maish Seibel, a leading authority on women's wellness and menopause. A recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine found that most women are confused or afraid of estrogen, and many doctors aren't comfortable treating them. My new book, called The Estrogen Window, just hit number one bestseller status on Amazon. Find out what women are so excited about. Order your copy now at estrogenwindowbook.com and become a partner in your healthcare.
You're listening to Janelle McCauley on the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Eat Great, Live Well Radio. I'm your host, Janelle McCauley, and today we're talking with Jennifer Johnson of WitnessingNature.net, and we're having a great conversation on healthy eating and taking ownership of what you're cooking. And I love all the things you do, Jennifer, with working with families, with teaching people how they can cook differently, how they can enjoy food. And before the break, we started our conversation about whole organic food. So if you missed that, please go back and listen to that. And I love what you were talking about, Jennifer, about how you take the time to really understand what you're eating and the local growers and farmers. But what about people that say, I don't have time to go do that, and even if I did, I wouldn't even know where to start. So what advice would you give them, or how can they find an expert that they can learn from and really model what they're doing?
Well, those are all really good questions. And, you know, for anything that we don't want to do, we always can find a reason as to why not to do it. So, I mean, whether it be running or walking or going to the gym or eating healthy, we can always find a reason as to why not to do it. So if you really honestly don't have the time, then there are a lot of stores, no matter where you're at in the United States, that sell whole organic foods, and they do the research for you. For example, in Arizona, it's Whole Foods, or you can go to a Sprouts, and even Trader Joe's has a lot of that whole organic food as well. Otherwise, many of the local farmers, if you just talk to the farmer when you go to your farmer's market, and ask them how they treat the food. I mean, do they put pesticides on it or whatever? And you can find out from them right then. Sometimes a lot of people take family days on Saturdays or whatever their farmer's market day is, and they go out and they do a family day with it. But you can go and talk to each one of the farmers. It's the farmers that are selling the products that are there in front of you. So they'll tell you exactly what they're doing with the food. Or you can go visit the farms. Every one of the farms that are around here have store hours, so you can go into the farms and sometimes even go and pick your own food.
Hmm.
And then, you know, there are the ways of being able to say, because it is a very self-regulated, you have to kind of make sure you understand exactly how the food is being manufactured. With meat, it's easier. I mean, there's a certification for the meat, and you can ask them, and they have to mark it with no hormones and grass-fed and range, you know, sustainable. It's a sustainable marking. So there's actual certification for that with the meat. So you're just looking at it and looking at the labels, really honestly, can tell you whether or not the food is the way it's properly supposed to be made.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a baguette. If you look at many of the labels for baguettes in bread stores in the United States, you'll see that it has like 16 different ingredients. There's only supposed to be 3 ingredients in a baguette: flour, salt, water.
Mm.
I'm sorry, and a little bit of yeast. That's it. And anybody that tries to sell anything more than that, then it's not the way that originally was intended to be made.
Interesting. And, you know, Michael Pollan and Others have said if a food has more than 5 ingredients, you really need to take a step back and look at it and say, okay, is that something I really should be eating? Because once you start getting too many more than that, you start adding those additives, those preservatives, and those are things that are designed to increase shelf life and, you know, not to make it healthier.
Exactly. Once you start seeing Zartan gum and different kinds of things in there, then yes, that's all exactly for the shelf life. Even too much salt, if salt is too high on the ingredient list. I'll tell you that I don't cook with salt unless I absolutely have to. I put very little salt. And when I do use salt, I use either kosher salt or I use French gray salt. I use sea salt sometimes, but or pink Himalayan sea salt, depending on whether I'm making a sweet dish or not. But for my everyday cooking, it would be probably French gray salt.
I've never heard of that, so tell me a little bit about that.
I haven't told you guys yet, but I spend probably a month every year in Paris and throughout France. My friend Jane has a cooking school there, and I love going and working at her cooking school and spending time with her. She's just a wonderful person. And they all utilize, the chefs there all utilize French gray salt, and it has a little bit different chemical. It's more minerally, mm-hmm. and a little grayer, but it just has such a fantastic flavor, and you can use so little of it and get so much salt flavor out of it. And so sodium intake for me would be something that I would be looking for, is I don't want to intake too much sodium.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I think Michael's going to become your best friend because he always wanted to go to cooking school. So we may have to come over and visit you sometime when you're over there.
Anytime.
So, you know, and one of the other things I think people struggle with whole organic food is the cost and the expense. And I always tell people, and I'd love to get your opinion, but I always tell people that when you're buying, start with some things that really are much better to be organic. You don't have to start all with everything, but start with a few things. And the food is more flavorful, so you actually need less of it. And I challenge people, because I know how much people throw away, really plan your meals so you don't have the waste. And if you look at how much waste you have, you can save money right there.
Yeah, I think that one of my cooking classes actually is a market class. I think that how we buy produce, I would say start with produce because of all the chemicals that are put in the produce.
Mm-hmm.
And really, honestly, the farmers markets are not really any less expensive or any more expensive than a Fry's or a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I would also say that I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sorry. But, I mean, honestly, I would say that when it comes down to the actual price of the food, the chemicals you put on your body today really are something that's going to stay with you. You put in your body or on your body, something that's going to stay with you and can impact your life, impact your health later. So if you don't have health problems now, then potentially you could be spending that money later with extra doctor visits and so on. So, I mean, like you talked about earlier, really trying to be mindful about what you put in your body can impact your health and your health risks and all of those things later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you either, it's kind of what, for me, it's one of those things that either you pay me now or you pay me later. And I have money now, so I'm going to buy or spend my extra 10 cents a bunch for organic spinach than I would to buy something that's been sprayed with pesticides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. As we wrap up our time together, I just want to ask you, what's kind of the one food that you love or crave? Because I know you love to eat healthy, but there's got to be something that it just draws you in.
Oh, my junk food. So there's two, actually. There'd be two. So one, and I don't even actually keep it in the house unless I can buy just a little bit at Sprouts or something and then bring it home and make it and then be done with it, is popcorn. I love popcorn. Butter and Parmesan on it. Absolutely love it. So I just buy a little handful, make my little air-popped popcorn, add butter and Parmesan to it, and then I'm done with my little fix.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy I'm dating, he is out for the most perfect hamburger, and so we probably once a month we go and scout out a new hamburger place so that he can try to find his perfect hamburger.
Huh. When you find it, you'll have to let us know. We love hamburgers too, so when we go out oftentimes we split one so we can have some fries with it and really enjoy it because it's a real treat.
Yes, yes.
Interesting.
Now, we eat them every day, you're right. We eat them every day. They're not such a real treat, but you know, going out, there's so many, I think they've kind of gone into this little hamburger specialty lately, and so they see a little hamburger spots coming up.
Interesting. We'll have to continue that conversation offline. I've really enjoyed our time together, and I'd love to have you share with our listeners how they can learn more about you and what you have to offer.
You guys can all visit my website, witnessingnature.net. We have the first website is up now. In the next week or so, the new website, professionally done, will be going live. And if you click on Contact Us, then we will send you a newsletter so you can constantly be in the know of what it is that we're doing. I am working on doing some additional videos and some cooking videos and post on the website, as well as on my Instagram, which is Witnessing Nature, and then my Pinterest, which is Witnessing Nature, so you guys can get some free recipes and some free information about what it is we're doing and where we're going to be at, as well as if you're in Arizona and you mention this show, I'll give you 10% off of any cooking classes or any of your professional chef services.
Oh, that's very nice of you to do. And we will put a link to witnessingnature.net on our Eat Great, Live Well radio show page, too. So they'll be able to click there and find you. And as we end our conversation, I'd love to ask you to give our listeners just one action item that they can implement in the next week to start creating a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love.
Well, I would probably say that everybody is attached to their Androids or their iPhones, and they have all their smartphones, and they're surfing the net. I would download an app called Environmental Working Group. They have it for Apple and for Android. And you can research everything that you're buying, no matter what it is. If the company that is selling the product is registered with the Environmental Working Group and reporting their ingredients, it'll tell you what the hazard is. For you and for the environment. And it'll also tell you in the store whether what some of the farmers are doing to the produce, if it's marked organic and if it's really organic or not. So you can check that stuff out. And then, you know, I'll just make it 1.5 kind of things to be able to do. You know, start reading your labels. Make sure it says organic, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, sustainable on the labels. That thing right there will just help limit the amount of toxins that you put in your body. I mean, because you already are going out and you're driving in the car and you're breathing the air and all of those things. So just take some time and make sure that what you're putting in and on are good for you.
Well, thank you so much. And I really have enjoyed our conversation today. So thank you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being here. Thanks so much for your time.
So until next week, remember that even small changes can make a positive difference in your health and your life. Healthy choices you make every day add up over time to create a healthy future for yourself and your family. Be sure to join me each week as we continue the conversation on how to build a healthier relationship with food and with yourself. And again, I invite you to go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com and be part of our conversation. Click on Facebook and share your thoughts. Let us know your questions about healthy eating and organic eating, and share what you loved about today's conversation. Take care and have a great and healthy week. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to Eat Great, Live Well Radio, your trusted source for the information you need to take control of your health and your life. Each week at this time, we bring you straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the foods you love. Join us next Thursday and every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on the EWN Radio Network. To get a replay of this week's show, listen to past shows, or contact Janelle, go to eatgreatlivewellradio.com. Have a great week, and remember, you can choose to eat great and live well.